No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Matthew 6:24. I am Rob West. Serving two masters is not merely an economic or social concern, but is profoundly spiritual. It touches on what it means to be a follower of Christ, challenging us to examine what truly governs our lives. Taylor Standrich joins us today to talk about it. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, it's great to have Taylor Standrich back with us, along with Chad Clark and Carolyn Kolupka. Taylor is the co-author of our brand new resource, Look at the Sparrows, a 21-day devotional on financial fear and anxiety. Taylor, great to have you back.
Hey, Rob, it's always a pleasure.
We're going to dig a little deeper into the verse we started with, Matthew 6:24 and a few others. But first, Taylor, why don't you just give us an overview of the brand new Look at the Sparrows devotional and how it can help our listeners?
Yeah, so many of us face financial anxiety. And, you know, one of the things that I want to kind of dispel this myth is that as writers of this devotional, we're somehow on the other side of this struggle. No, Everyone that contributed to this, we are in the fight with you. So many of us face this, whether we're talking about bills, job security, retirement savings, it is overwhelming. It can cause us to have sleepless nights, even constant stress, even affect our health. And so there is this source of peace and joy that goes beyond our financial situations. And so in this devotional, we are inviting you alongside us onto this journey to explore how God's word addresses money and anxiety through the teachings of Jesus. So it brings us back to the heart of Scripture, teaching us that peace comes not from having enough money, but from trusting in God's provision and grace. And so as we journey through this three-week devotional, 21 days, we are reminded that God loves us, He cares for us, and our ultimate source of security and peace is found in Him.
Mm. Well, it's so well done, Taylor. And I know from taking calls on this program every day, it is going to meet a real need that exists among so many. Now, it's, of course, as you said, a devotional about overcoming financial fear and anxiety. But there's one whole section that's really dedicated to not being able to serve God and money, where we started today. How are those two things related?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the contrast between God and money and Scripture is not accidental. This is very much intentional on Jesus's part. So in this context, money represents far more than just simply the coinage or currency that we use to spend. It symbolizes the worldly values and pursuits that can lead us away from centering our life on God. So whether it's wealth, power, status, all that the world deems essential to a good life can easily become idols that we serve. And often it's without us even realizing it. So, of course, I do want to make this known. It's not money that is in and of itself evil. Money is not the problem. It's what the enemy tells us that money fulfills. So, like as 1 Timothy 6:10 says, it's the love of money that is the root of all evil. It's when we love it more than the Creator Himself. We recognize that it's a gift from God that we can use as a tool to accomplish His purposes. But if the enemy can deceive us into believing that the money that we have can provide us identity and security, all these things that only God can provide, it will enslave us and quickly draw our hearts away from what God wants for our lives.
Wow, you really nailed it there. Let's unpack this a bit more because this is such a big idea. Taylor, in your view, what does the love of money really represent?
Well, I really like the way that Larry Burkett put it. He said, the love of money is a form of idol worship, just as surely as the worship of pagan images. It's not the money that is the problem, it's the attitude towards it. That's why our organization's founders are so famous for actually counting the verses in the Bible that had to do with the topic of money and possessions. And what they found is there were over 2,300 verses. Because at the end of the day, money promises us all the same things that God does, but it doesn't deliver on a single one of those promises. It tells us that with enough of it, we'll be protected, secure, and fulfilled. But sadly, people who end up rich beyond their wildest dreams come to a tragic conclusion. It does not satisfy. I actually like the way that the writer of Ecclesiastes puts it in chapter 5. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity.
Mm. Well, Taylor, we're just scratching the surface here today. I can't wait to continue to unpack this. We'll talk about some of the danger signs you need to watch out for to make sure that you're not trying to serve God and money, and continue to talk about how you can overcome financial fear and anxiety. Folks, if you want to learn more, faithfi.com/sparrows. Look at the sparrows as our focus today. Taylor Standrich is our guest, and much more just around the corner. Stick around.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Suffering and glory go together. Just look at any epic movie. Glory always comes after great suffering has been endured. But of course, it's one thing to watch an adventure while eating a bowl of popcorn from the safety of your armchair. But in real life, when something truly hard comes your way, what will you do? Will you cling to the Lord? Will you pick up your cross and follow Jesus? The Apostle Paul once wrote, "We also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope." So if you're facing hard things today, set your eyes on Jesus. God is doing something glorious in you. Check out Anchor Devotional in print every month. Visit getanchor.com.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Coming up this weekend, we'll talk about the importance of teaching church history to children with author Simonetta Carr.
So I try to keep that thread throughout my book, how God preserved his church and his gospel, because his gospel is so important.
The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. With me today, my friend Taylor Standrich. He's a production manager here at FaithFi, and he is co-author of the brand new resource, Look at the Sparrows, a 21-day devotional on financial fear and anxiety. Today, we're talking about one of the big ideas we see in Scripture around money and our hearts, and that is that we cannot serve God and money. This is a big theme in our new devotional, Look at the Sparrows. And Taylor, I'd love for you to share some of the danger signs that might indicate we're serving money and not God.
Yeah, well, if we look at Jesus' teaching in Matthew 6, it really does not allow for us to have a middle ground or a compromised position. So these danger signs are kind of revealing that our loyalty is not necessarily exclusive to God. And by no means is this list exhaustive. These are just things that have come up to my mind.
Yeah.
Just when I think of somebody who is really struggling with this loyalty issue. And number one is that we're prioritizing work and money over our relationship with God. You know, if making money and achieving financial success takes precedence over spending time time with God, or that's taken precedence over serving others, attending church, and nurturing our own spiritual growth, that could be a sign that money is an idol for us. I actually really like the way that a pastor told me once. He says, if rest feels like a sin, then work is an idol. Mm. And so work is such a beautiful gift from the Lord. But if we forget why we work, we are missing such a key opportunity to worship God. We don't work just so that our bills are paid. We work so that we can ultimately bring glory to God and represent Him not only in our workplaces, but in the work itself. So as we say all the time on this program, God designed us to work and to represent Him on this earth. That's why we're made in His image. That's what it means to represent Him in His kingdom. We steward this creation. And if our work isn't allowing us to spend time with God on a personal level, it's a good chance that we have our priorities out of line.
Mm. Taylor, I know contentment is another big theme we see in Scripture. How does that connect to these danger signs?
Yeah, so the second one that I would say to keep a lookout for is that you're never satisfied or content with enough. We see this in Luke chapter 12. We obviously did a whole study on the parable of the rich fool, but Jesus is cautioning against greed, reminding us that life is so much more than the abundance of our possessions. And like I just mentioned in the previous segment in Ecclesiastes 5, the one who loves money will never have enough. That's actually why God warns Moses and the Hebrews in Deuteronomy 8 as they head towards the promised land. They are about to enter a land that is flowing with milk and honey, which is just a metaphor for prosperity. And God, in His infinite wisdom, warns them not to forget that their wealth and their ability to create it all come from Him. Mm. Of course, if you've read the rest of the story on dozens upon dozens of occasions, that is precisely what happens.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Now, generosity is a key piece of this as well, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So the last one that I would say to keep a lookout for is that if our giving becomes sparing and it becomes reluctant. So if you find it difficult to give generously, or if giving feels like a burden, it could be a sign that money holds too much power in your heart. We see in 2 Corinthians 9 that God loves a cheerful giver, and biblical stewardship encourages us to hold our resources with an open hand. So if we're white-knuckling our money, it's a clear sign that we have forgotten whose money it is that we're managing. It's also a sign that we're probably looking at the world through something called a scarcity mindset, where we hoard and we even take our share at the expense of the needs of others. We only look at the world through a piece of the pie mindset, where it basically says, if someone gets that piece, I don't get that piece. And we actually see this going back to the Garden of Eden, when the serpent convinces Adam and Eve to eat the forbidden fruit, because God knows that when you eat, your eyes will be open, just as He says, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. You know, I see this in the beginning of humanity, the idea of someone having something that we don't have, or as we would translate it as covetousness. It has reigned supreme in the lives of humanity since then, and it wreaks havoc wherever we allow it to.
Yeah, I think that's well said. I think about what Ron Blue, the author, says often, and that is that giving actually loosens the grip that money can have over our lives. And so clearly, the extent to which we're generous is the extent to which we're living open-handed. Now, you mentioned this scarcity mindset. I want to dig a little deeper on that, because another one of the verses that we find in this devotional for one of the days is John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So, Taylor, share your thoughts on how our listeners can overcome this scarcity mindset and learn to trust God for our provision.
Absolutely. Well, scarcity prompts us to prioritize our needs over others, which breeds envy, it breeds anger and conflict. It transforms what life is supposed to be, which is a celebration, into a struggle for survival. So, of course, this runs contrary to what Paul talks about in Philippians 2 when he says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves." The Bible shows us that God intends for humans to experience His generosity, which starts with Abraham's family, whom He promised abundance, hoping to demonstrate His provision through their faith to the surrounding nations. So it's never been just about being a person that receives it. It's about showing others who God is through generosity. So despite God's intentions, obviously, human history has shown a humongous cycle of forgetfulness and greed, which leads to self-destruction and conflict. And we see this time and time in Scripture. So God's response to this cycle is absolutely remarkable. He gives us His Son, Jesus, who embodies trust in God's abundance as he lives generously even in the face of adversity. So as we look at Jesus's teachings and ultimate sacrifice, we're invited to live by this countercultural narrative of abundance, trusting that with God, there is always more than enough.
That's so good. I'd love for you to take that one step further. What does it look like then for God to provide more than enough?
Yeah, well, let's look at the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000, which if you read behind the scenes of that story, 5,000 is just the men. If you were to count the women and the children, you can multiply that by about three or four times. So this is a massive miracle, even on its own. And in Matthew 14, we forget this little detail that not only did Jesus feed everybody with five loaves of bread and two fish, but there were 12 baskets of leftovers. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just that he met the needs. Everyone ate and was satisfied in full. So why would God just not feed them what they needed? Well, this little detail in the story showcases God's generous spirit and abundant ability to always shatter expectations. It reminds us that God's resources are limitless. Yeah. And ours, even though we think that there's only a limited amount of everything in this world, God can truly multiply from anything. I mean, remember, creation came from nothing. God created from nothing. He's the only one that can do that. So in times of financial anxiety, our worries can be alleviated by trusting God's endless generosity. Just as Jesus taught, let's not be consumed by the fear of not having enough, but let's be inspired to live generously, sharing our resources and love. You know, when our mindset is transformed by the reality that we have more than enough, we experience God's boundless love all around us as we begin to see ourselves as cherished guests at his table. And we see the world now overflowing with possibilities and abundance.
Well, folks, you're just getting a taste of our brand new Look at the Sparrows devotional. Imagine going on a journey with us for 21 days, exploring these themes, going and digging into God's word as Taylor has just been doing, and seeing God as your ultimate treasure, your provider, one who can be trusted in the midst of the uncertainty and leaning into his provision. That's what we want for you. And Taylor, I'm so excited about this resource. Tell our listeners how they can pick up a copy.
Yeah, well, if you go to faithfi.com/sparrows, you can actually get a copy when you make a gift of $25 or more. Also, if you want to become a partner with us, you can actually join at $35 a month. And every resource that we write from here on out, you're going to be getting a copy before the general public does. So if you want to get a copy, faithfi.com/sparrows, and you will get a free copy with any $25 donation or more.
Taylor, I'm so thankful that you're on the team. Great work on Look at the Sparrows. Thanks for stopping by.
Absolutely, Rob. It's a pleasure.
Folks, if you want to learn more, faithfi.com/sparrows. Back with your questions after this. 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
As our families face serious cultural threats like abortion on demand up until birth and transgender propaganda at every turn, there's no room for Christians to compromise. AFA Action is fighting back for Bible-believing families with a battle cry of zero compromise. But we need your gift to fight at full strength. When you make a gift today, you'll receive free DVD and digital access to Dr. Ray Pritchard's timely mini-documentary, Courageous Living in Turbulent Times. Visit afaaction.net to give today.
FaithFi is grateful for support from OneAscent. OneAscent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. OneAscent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good. To explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values, more information is available at OneAscent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit kingdomadvisors.com.
That's kingdomadvisors.com.
Here's Rob West of Faith and Finance, heard here daily on American Family Radio.
We understand how important it is for Christians to leave a legacy that will impact generations to come. One way you can do that is through a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit them online at afafoundation.net.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
I'm so thankful you've joined us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. So thankful for Taylor Stanrich and the entire team here at FaithFi and the incredible resources that are being produced. You know, we believe that God's people want to go beyond just the seven steps to financial health. I mean, that's important. We need emergency funds and we need to live within our means and we need to avoid the use of debt. I don't want to minimize those. But we also believe that faithful Christians want to go deeper in their walk with Jesus. They want a faith that's authentic throughout every domain of their lives. And that means that in this area of money management, which I would submit is the primary competitor to lordship. You remember Jesus said we can't serve God, and he put something next to God that was the rival. He chose money. You can't serve God and money. In the parable of the sower, remember what choked out the word from bearing 30, 60, 100-fold return? The deceitfulness of riches, among other things. You remember the parable of the rich fool? He said, life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions, but we need to be rich toward God. I mean, we see this theme that money is a good gift from God. So it's not evil. It's the love of money that our culture reinforces that's the problem. And so if something is going to compete with you for first position or compete with God for first position in your life, it's most often going to be money. And so here at FaithFi, we believe that faithful Christians want to address this topic and want to go deep into Scripture to understand in a theologically sound way with beautiful design and thoughtful, insightful articles that have a practical bent to them, that are wise because they're informed by God's word. We believe that God's people want that type of material. They can handle it. They're ready to confront it. And that's what we're doing here on a daily basis on this program, but also through these studies and devotionals we're producing, starting with Rich Toward God last year on the parable of the rich fool. Now Look at the Sparrows, this 21-day devotion that really walks through a portion of the Sermon on the Mount and unpacks over 21 days some really thoughtful ideas about how you can confront financial fear. We're working on our next study right now in the book of Ecclesiastes and money called Wisdom Over Wealth. It's going to be amazing. We'll launch our new publication in January, a quarterly digest that's beautifully designed, but most important, theologically sound with articles that are practical and insightful. All of this just to encourage you in your stewardship journey because it's so important. And here's why. You know, Arizona Christian University, where George Barna is in residency in their cultural influence center, said recently that Americans live only 4% of them with a true biblical worldview based on the way they defined it. That's down from 6% prior to the pandemic. Let's say they're wrong and it's a little bit higher than that. The bottom line is God's people are not operating through a true biblical worldview, and that would certainly include this area of money management. And so we believe God's calling on our ministry is to equip you to really deal with this topic truly through the lens of Scripture and a biblical worldview. And it's really important. You have a high calling as a money manager of the King of Kings. And so each day we want to encourage you to that end and answer your practical questions as well. So if you have a question in your financial life, would you call right now 800-525-7000? This is also a great time for me to mention that as we head toward year end and as we head toward the closing out of the month of October, this is a really important time for us to hear from you at FaithFi. As a listener-supported ministry, We rely on your gifts to do everything we do, this broadcast, the studies and devotionals, the new publication, the app, our certified Christian financial counselors. All of that happens because of listener support. So if you'd like to support the ministry, we'd certainly be grateful. Just head to our website. You could become a monthly partner or make a one-time gift. And really important time here before the end of October. Just go to faithfi.com. Click give. If this program has been a blessing to you, you'd be a blessing by supporting us. Faithfi.com. Just click give. And a gift of $25 or more would allow us to send you a copy of this new devotional that I think will be a real encouragement to you. So thanks in advance for that. All right, let's dive into your phone calls today. The number to call, 800-525-7000. We're going to begin in Kansas and welcome Brad. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, I'm a first-time caller. I just had a couple of points hopefully you can clear up for everybody.
Right.
The first one has to deal with the national debt. I believe there's a lot of people that believe the amount, which is, what, $30-some trillion?
$36 trillion, just about, yep.
Which is outrageous. But
it is.
They believe that's money that the politicians in Washington, D.C., have borrowed to pay the bills, and that's
yeah.
not the case. Because I've looked up online, you know, the national debt, and they come up with pie charts, and it was like 73% was our mortgages, car payments, credit cards. We're paying that interest. The interest does not come out of the coffers. We pay it directly to the credit card companies, right?
Well, the national, so let's explain what the national debt is. It's like the country's credit card balance. It represents the total amount of money the U.S. government owes to lenders. So these lenders can be individual investors, banks, businesses, and most significantly, other countries who've bought U.S. Treasury bonds and other government securities. So the government borrows money to cover expenses when it doesn't have enough tax revenue to fund all of its programs and obligations. We're talking everything from Social Security to Medicare to defense, even infrastructure. So when the government spends more than it earns through taxes, it has to borrow to cover the shortfall. The way the U.S. Treasury does this is to issue securities like bonds that investors buy. So the government promises to pay back these bonds with interest in the future. And by the way, the interest on the national debt is about to be our largest federal expenditure, just the interest alone, even more than defense. So just like a credit card, the national debt accrues interest, that $35.8 trillion that we owe, and it has to be paid regularly. And it's continuing to grow, which is a really big problem. And this is known as deficit spending. So each year the government borrows to cover its budget shortfall, it adds to the national debt. Now, it's important to understand the difference between the debt and the deficit. The debt is the total amount owed. The deficit is the difference between what the government spends and what it earns in a single year. And it's owned in large part by foreign holders of U.S. debt, which as of 2024, the largest was Japan with $1.1 trillion, followed by China. So, yeah, a big problem that we need to deal with. I'll talk about this a bit more after the break. Stay right there.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
This is Frank Gaffney, host of Securing America, a program dedicated to protecting the country we love against all enemies, foreign and domestic, to the glory of God and His kingdom. Each weeknight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, we provide insights and recommendations about the most important challenges facing our nation from her most thoughtful experts and patriots. Join me to learn how you can help in Securing America right here at 11 p.m. Eastern Time.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%.
Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
Interested in seminary but don't think it will work in this season in life? Wesley Biblical Seminary offers flexible options that allow you to take classes live, no matter where you are. At WBS, we don't just educate people, we develop trusted leaders for faithful churches. It's time for you to respond to the calling God has on your life. Take classes from an institution that you can trust for a calling that will not go away. Learn more about your opportunities at wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today here on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Before the break, we were talking to Brad. He was asking about the national debt. I was explaining how it works. It is, of course, a big challenge right now, $35.8 trillion. The other issue is just the rate of increase because of all the massive government spending, which we've got to get a handle on, is just causing that overall debt level to continue to rise dramatically. We're right now at about 120% of GDP in terms of debt to gross domestic product. We'll probably at this pace be at 135% by the early 2030s. That, you know, would be a real problem. I think beyond most studies say beyond 135, certainly beyond 150, and then absolutely as you get to 200%, you're really in the category where you're have a prospect of a real debt crisis. And I think that's something that we need to get a handle on with restrained spending and just a really serious approach to fiscal responsibility in this country. Certainly something that needs to become front and center. You're hearing some about it. You'll hear more about it because it's not a thing until it's everything in terms of the U.S. national debt. And we need leaders who are willing to confront that. Brad, appreciate your call today. We've got lines open. We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Call with your financial questions right now. Let's head to Minnesota. Hi, Ann. How can I help you?
Hi, Rob. Just have a question today. I would appreciate your thoughts on tithing from my portfolio gains or income.
Yeah, it's a great question, Ann, and I'm delighted to hear that you're asking about this because here's the reality. Just one high-level comment, then we'll talk specifics. Most of our wealth is held on our balance sheet, not in the form of cash. So, you know, if we think about just kind of our total net worth, usually only about 10 to 20% is held in cash and cash equivalents. Most of it is in assets like stock portfolios, retirement accounts, our home, things like that, which just simply means that our greatest opportunity for giving lives over on our balance sheet. The challenge is most of our giving happens in the form of cash, which again is the smallest category, if you will, of our net worth. So I love the idea that you're thinking about giving out of your portfolio because there's a real opportunity there. With regard to appreciated stock, the significant play there is if you're in a taxable account. So this is not in a retirement account. Now, if it is, we could talk about how you deal with that. But if it's in a taxable account, the idea that you would give then sell is really significant because it helps you to avoid any capital gains. And so essentially what you would do is make the gift direct to the ministry or charity of your choice. You want to give to FaithFi, you'd give the stock. You want to give to American Family Association, you can give the stock straight to the ministry. The ministry would then sell it and use it for its purposes. You get the deduction based on the full amount of the gift, and nobody pays any capital gains tax, which means you get a larger deduction and the ministry gets more money to work with. So that's option one. Option two is, if you don't know where you want the money to go, but let's say you wanted to go ahead and make the charitable contribution against your 2024 taxes, you could give the stock to a donor-advised fund. So think about that like a charitable checking account. You could open it any number of places. I recommend you open it with the National Christian Foundation. They call it a giving fund. And essentially, you'd open your giving fund. You could do it online at ncfgiving.com in about 5 minutes. And then it would sit there just like a checking account. And then you could make the gift from your investment portfolio to your donor advised fund. And then the asset could be sold. So again, no capital gains. And then it would sit there until you're ready to recommend grants out of it to your favorite charity or your church, something like that. And then through a few clicks of the button on NCF's website, they would issue a check, to your ministry of choice. But anyway, those are a couple of options. Give me your thoughts on that and any follow-up questions you have.
Those are good thoughts. I will need to consider those. I had just, in the past, God made me aware of there is an increase there. I should be giving. And yeah. So beyond my normal tithing, I've chose to look at that amount at the end of the year to see how much. And then I've chose to name it my generous giving.
I love
so
it.
Yeah. Out of that, then I just give cash out of my own personal account.
Okay.
But your ideas are helpful for me to consider those as well.
Yeah. So let me switch gears for a second, because I talked about the tactical side of how you would do that, which is, again, calling your broker, or if you manage it yourself, calling your custodian and just saying, listen, I want you to transfer 100 shares of XYZ company to American Family Association, or I want you to transfer it to my donor advised fund at NCF. That's kind of the mechanics of it. Let's talk about how you might approach the amount that you'd give. Obviously, the starting point is, to be in prayer about that. Ask the Lord, what would you have me to do? And he may lead you to do something significant there. And if so, great. But if you want to apply the principle of the tithe to this account, that's another approach. And the way you would do that is based on realized gains. And so you would perhaps take the year 2024 and say, okay, what realized gains did I have in this portfolio for this year? Because anything that you still own, it's unrealized, meaning you may have a gain in it, but 6 months from now, it may be at a loss if all of a sudden the market were to turn down. And so rather than looking at the unrealized gains, you could say, what are those actual gains I realized? I bought something at one price, it went higher, I sold it at a higher price, and when I sell it, that's an unrealized gain. A realized gain. So you total up all of your realized gains for the year, and then you apply the principle of the tithe, and you'd take a tenth, and you would, give it to ministry or charity. So that's another approach where you would be essentially tithing on your investment gains. But I think there's an opportunity to give far beyond that. New Testament giving is giving that's given freely, not under compulsion. It's giving sacrificially, like the example of the widow that we see in the New Testament. It's giving that's proportionate to what God has entrusted to you. And, as we think and pray about that, God may lead you to give a substantial gift far beyond what would be considered a tithe. But, I just wanted to give you that in terms of how to think about either tithing on your realized gains in the portfolio or just giving outright gifts far beyond a tithe as the Lord leads, if that makes sense.
Yes. And for all the years that I have invested, it wasn't till some years ago that God brought that to mind and laid it on my heart. And I just thought in listening to your program, maybe it would be best just to get your input, and then I can perfectly move forward.
Yeah, I think that's right. Well, I love the direction you're headed here, Anne. I'm confident you've got, you know, the God's heart is that we're to be a generous people. I believe that in part why he has entrusted to us what he has, because he owns it all and he's given it to us to be his money managers. What we see throughout the Council of Scripture in the Old and New Testament is that money is a good gift and we're to use it to enjoy, it says in 1 Timothy. We're to provide for our families and ourselves. But in part, it's also so we can give and meet the needs of others and love our neighbor and invest in those causes that are on the heart of God, doing the work in the name of Jesus in your community and to the ends of the earth. And so the fact that you're thinking about how do I take a portion of what God has given me, even in my stock portfolio, and give it away is something the Bible certainly affirms. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back.
While we rejoice that Roe was overturned, the pro-choicers are very energized. They are winning the arguments and elections. We need to win them back. The people who bring you Wretched Radio have produced a powerful, persuasive, and proactive 13-lesson video series to help.
You don't need a PhD to tell you that human life is more valuable than the life of the ants.
Order Life is Best at shop.wretched.org and listen to Wretched Radio Saturday nights at 10 Central on American Family Radio.
There have been people in our nation who have been pining for wickedness. As we read through Romans 1, you see over and over, God gave them over. God gave them over. But what is happening is evidence of abandonment. We need to understand that that is included within the wheelhouse, if you will, of God judging a people.
Join Abraham Hamilton III on the Hamilton Corner, weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on AFR.
Financial fear is real, but so is God's promise to provide. At FaithFi, we know the daily stress of money can overwhelm your heart. But Jesus reminds us to look at the birds of the air. They don't worry, and yet our Heavenly Father feeds them. In Look at the Sparrows, a 21-day devotional, you'll find peace by focusing on God's faithfulness as you discover how to overcome financial anxiety with faith. Visit faithfi.com/sparrows and begin your journey with Look at the Sparrows today.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Helping you see God as your ultimate treasure and money a tool to accomplish his purposes. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. And here on a Friday in our final segment, we love the opportunity to welcome Jerry Boyer to the broadcast. Jerry is our resident economist. He joins us with his market commentary each Friday. We also use this opportunity to update you on the incredible work Jerry does beyond the markets and the economy in corporate engagement. In fact, he walks alongside the team here at AFA in their corporate engagements efforts. And to that end, Walker Wildman will be with us in just a moment as well. But Jerry, great to have you.
Always great to be with you, my friend. 2 days Jerry, in a row.
Yeah, I know. We were on a webinar yesterday with several hundred Christian financial professionals, and here we are again. Before we turn our attention, Jerry, to corporate engagement, I'd love for you just to update us on the market, and perhaps we'll start with this question. You know, Dow 42,000 and gold at $2,750 an ounce. Is that a good thing? What does that tell you?
That tells you that the Dow at 43,000 is largely a matter of easy money, not largely a matter of a fundamentally good business sector and a fundamentally good economy. That it shows you that the valuations, that these extremely high valuations, and we saw this in the webinar yesterday, which can get a lot more technical, right? Because those are financial professionals, but the market is so invested in stocks that it's actually treating stocks like they're less risky than bonds, which is very unusual. So these are extremely high valuations, especially compared to the bond market. So why such extremely high valuations? Well, that happens when the central bank is expected to pump money into the system, which they did at their last meeting. Very unusual to be pumping money into the system, cutting rates is the way they put it, the last meeting before an election. Not exact, looks a little politicized, frankly. And markets expect another cut next month and a cut again in December. And this week, they shifted towards more cutting expectations. In other words, this week, a narrative kind of appeared that the economy is actually pretty good. Hey, economists raised their forecast for the economy next year. Well, that's great. They raised the growth rate forecast to 2%. 2% is half the growth rate of America, of the American average. So that ain't great, but it's better than expected. So now that the feeling is, well, we're probably not going to have a recession, which means that the Fed, is kind of free to go out there and kind of pump money into the system. Inflation is beaten, so the Fed's going to pump money into the system. And what happens is they pump that into the bond market, and then that causes speculative money. The more money in the system, the more speculative people become. Doesn't that make sense? When there's just a lot of extra money around, easy money drives people towards more speculation and more towards the bubbles. So if you saw the stock market going up and you didn't see anything else, you'd say probably good news. But if you see everything going up, especially the inflation hedge, the disaster hedge, gold and Bitcoin, then that the indicator is that there's a falseness to this bull market.
Jerry, that's really helpful. Put that alongside what we're seeing with this incredible rally in gold at $2,750 an ounce. What is that telling as a part of this story?
Gold is a bet against the dollar. Gold is a bet that first of all, it's acknowledgement that there's been debasement of the currency, but it is also forward-looking. It is the belief that there will be more debasement of the currency. Like I said yesterday, when the Fed says we're not worried about inflation, then that's when the markets get worried about inflation, because the Fed's job is to always be guarding against inflation. It's always to be, preserving the value of the dollar. And if they say, it's fine, no problem, we can keep cutting, we can keep pumping money into the system, inflation is beaten. Well, when the guard isn't, that's like the guard is asleep, And when the night security guard is asleep, that's when you worry about the loss of value. So I think gold is basically saying that. I think gold is also saying that the futures market says it's likely Trump is going to win, but it's saying, so what? We have two big spending parties now. I think the markets think that Trump is better in general for the economy, but they don't think that either candidate or either party is at all serious about controlling spending, therefore at all serious about controlling debt. So they're saying there's now a bipartisan consensus to just keep spending, to finance that spending through new money creation, and to continue to debase our currency, increasing the risk of some kind of debt crisis. I think probably sort of on the model of what we saw in the European debt crisis of 2011, 12, 13, 14.
Yeah. Jerry, we look at mortgage rates right now, and we see that rates today are the highest they've been since July, which was well before the Fed's rate drop. And I suspect that has to do with the fact that mortgage rates are tied to the 10-year treasury, which was expected to fall with the prospect of further rate cuts, but it's not. It's actually moving up. What are your thoughts on just the correlation there?
My thoughts are that the Fed can control the short-term interest rate to some degree, but they really can't control the long-term interest rate that much. That is to some degree set by market forces. And that when you have the Fed trying to keep rates down, but they go up anyway, that is basically bondholders, investors saying, we don't believe you. We think that there's probably more inflation, so we want higher interest rate to compensate us for the lost purchasing power. And look, if you get a 5% interest rate return, but the inflation rate is 6%, you didn't make anything. You lost a percent. So when market participants think that's true, they're saying, I will not invest in your bonds at 5%. I want actual real return. So give me 6 or give me 7. So I think there's some inflation fear in there. I think there's also maybe a little bit of default fear, tiny bit. It's getting a little harder to sell those treasury bonds. And one of the things that does, when we have high mortgage rates, it doesn't just create the problem of, well, mortgage rates are higher, so your payment is higher. It also locks up the housing market because people don't want to buy or sell because they've locked in lower rates from before. And if you sell, then you're into the higher rate territory. So homes aren't selling now. And if we're not selling homes, then we're not building homes. And that creates a supply shortage with homes. And it basically keeps that sector, you know, close to a recessionary area. So we need that those artificially high, unnecessarily high rates essentially are hurting the housing sector. And the American economy, the biggest asset for most people, for wealthy people, the biggest asset is stocks or bonds or owning a company. But for almost everybody else, their biggest asset is their home. When you're essentially attacking the housing sector, you're attacking one of the main drivers of American prosperity.
Yeah, very helpful, Jerry. All right, let's turn the corner here and talk about corporate engagement for a moment. We're delighted to have Walker Wildman join us today. He's vice president of AFA. He's also CEO of AFA Action underneath American Family Association. Walker, great to have you. Give us an update on what you've been working on in the corporate engagement space.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Rob. We've been working with a couple different companies on shareholder proposals, John Deere, Home Depot, and Apple thus far. You know, Apple's been one of the most revealing conversations just because of what we've learned about their lack of protections for children on their devices. And the reason this came about is because in recent years, Apple has refused to deploy what's called CSAM scanning technology, and it's basically a scanning software that looks for child sexual abuse material in Apple iCloud accounts that everyone uses. So Apple refused to deploy this. They cited privacy concerns, and there's some validity to that, but Apple's being very secretive as to what exactly they're doing to protect children more broadly on their devices. So we've been engaging in that discussion with Apple. It's been rather disappointing. And the one kind of breaking news item that we learned is that children ages 13 to 17 can access pornography on Apple devices without parental notification or parental consent, even if the parents have cut on all the safety features that Apple offers. Teens aged 13 to 17 can access pornography on Apple devices. So this is kind of a warning to parents out there to really be careful about using Apple devices, especially for that 13 to 17 range. But we're still working on this with Apple. The discussions haven't closed yet. So we've got a proposal on the ballot on this on related topics here about protecting children. So that's kind of the latest development, but we're going to continue promoting pro-family, religious liberty type proposals on the ballot with various corporations.
What an exciting new way, and I know this has been going on for some time now, but AFA was really out front on this issue of cultural transformation, but going in through the boardroom. And Jerry, I think, you know, beyond Hollywood, beyond even Washington, the boardrooms of America are in large part dictating where our culture is heading, aren't they?
Yeah, I happen to think that corporations are more influential than politicians. I think Disney's impact on the culture is probably greater than any president of our lifetime, because culture is upstream from politics. Yeah, politics is important. I plan to vote in a couple of weeks, and that's very important. But because capitalism is so efficient, corporations are really efficient, whether they're doing good or bad. Apple is an extremely efficient corporation. It's really good at what it does. Unfortunately, one of the things it's doing right now is doing evil rather than doing good. And Walker's pointed that out. So, I mean, basically, and they're weasel wording things a little bit. They're saying, well, there's protections for children, you know, for children under 12. Well, are 13-year-olds children? Mm. When it's time to look at porn, I would think of a 13-year-old as a child,
yeah.
And the parents should be in charge. By the way, they allow the parents the discretion on whether the kid who's 12 or under can view pornography. I believe in parental rights, but there's a real question here. It's illegal to sell pornography to children.
Yeah. And a permission from parents really shouldn't change that. It's bad parenting. So, they are really doing bad here. And I really take my hat off to Walker and AFA for fighting back on them.
Well done, gentlemen. We appreciate all your great work. And thanks for sharing it with us today. We appreciate you stopping by.
Thanks, Rob.
That's Jerry Boyer, a resident economist, Walker Wildman, vice president of American Family Association. I'm Rob West. Big thanks to my team today, Sandy, Devin, Jim, and everybody here at FaithFi. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.